Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Because I can't. Like, I think he's making something in there, but it just has no aroma or flavor of any kind. Like, I guess I get the impression that he will eventually cook something tasty, but there is no sign of that in this dish called The Game Plan. And it was the number one movie in America.
But how?
The number one movie in America. Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Yeah, this like beat a few things to be number one movie. Well, that's the
it's
shocking
more like
thing.
He's preheating the oven.
The time you see him cooking, he puts tuna and eggs in right. Liquid chicken, as he calls it, into a blender.
Yeah.
I had to just tune out for a second.
You're disassociated. For bad smoothies. My name's Sean Collier. This is the number one movie in America. I am here with two... how do I not? I'm trying to make a joke about Dragon Bruce Lee story. But like the first three that jumped, I was like, am I stereotyping? I don't know. Two people who Bruce Lee kicked. It's Camila Adams.
Ouch.
And Robin Hitchcock.
Actually, I kicked him and he just bragged about it all around town.
That's right. And that's why his movie got a 41... Just below Bone Collector and Black Hawk Down, just above Hancock and Attack of the Clones. Also, boy, did we not talk about that movie for long. I think I think in like a 65-minute episode, there might have been 20 minutes of...
There's not that much to say.
Dragon or Attack of the Clones?
Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. We should really try to do better with this movie that has even less to talk about.
It's...
Listen, folks, we were supposed to record yesterday, and it was gross outside, and so we said, we'll just do it tomorrow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then all three of us were like, oh, but that's going to be another full
like
day of
like
these memories disappearing.
The sun has risen six times since I watched this movie, and that is too many. I've certainly never seen this. I might have been aware of it at the time. Even when I try to put it in my brain right now, my brain goes, right, Vin Diesel in The Pacifier. I'm like,
right.
No,
right.
No. Which is weird because they hate each other.
Wasn't there also a one where The Rock was the Tooth Fairy or something?
Yes, that also happened.
There's a whole genre. Big guy, little kids.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan had one.
Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Oh, Batista did one, and I was worried that was going to be the
oh,
last.
Oh, and I kind of liked that.
I was worried that would
that
be the last critic screening I ever saw. It was the last one I saw before COVID, and I was like, if these don't come back, I went out on, what was the name of it?
My Spy?
Yeah, that's
yes.
It.
That was cute.
Yeah.
This was not.
No.
It had moments.
Okay, I feel really bad. I know you've talked about this a lot, Sean, as a, you know, professional critic, but it is so hard when the kid in a movie is terrible because you don't want to say a kid is terrible.
I don't think she was terrible.
Might be too strong.
Yeah, like she was, I found her much more palatable than most precocious children in movies.
Okay. She's cute in the face.
Yeah, she's very cute, but that's also not to say that she was really, I just think it was bad directing all around.
And I think writing as well.
Yeah. Like,
filmmaking, all of the filmmaking.
Children don't say things about kids. Like, she's like, kids love sugar. Children don't think of themselves as a category.
She was bad at acting like a human being.
Yes.
And the movie, no part of the movie helped her.
Yes.
She was done no favors, but also she didn't do a great. She was good at being feisty, which is what a lot of kid actors do.
Yeah.
But they're not usually in big budget Disney movies.
Yeah.
You know, they're usually in
cereal ads.
It was cereal ad acting.
Yeah. I will say, I looked her up. She's had a great career, mostly as a voice actor, and also one of the most stunningly beautiful humans I've ever seen.
I looked her up too. Yeah. I was like, what is she doing? Yeah, I was aware this movie existed, but I've never seen it. This is probably after. Yeah, this is after he had done like Walking Tall and the Rundown and all of these.
Action movies.
Yeah, all the action movies. I was just confused. Like, at first, as I was watching, I was like, oh, this must be before Dwayne learned how to be funny. But Be Cool was before this, and I thought he was pretty funny in Be Cool.
Be Cool.
With Vince Vaughn and the Get Shorty.
Oh, sure, sure. Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know. This is just falls flat.
Well, I don't think he knows how to act like a human yet either, because you know the right. Rock, the wrestling character of The Rock is obviously very exaggerated and performative,
right?
And he had to spend 10 years like shaking that off right. before he could kind of
make an exaggerated and performative identity for Dwayne Johnson,
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that'll about the do it. It's time for.
Time for you can't handle the truth.
Yeah. No, let's tell you what happened, because you all certainly right. didn't see this movie.
And also, I need to remind you all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's, I believe it concerned basketball in Chicago. What? Football in Boston? Sure, whatever you say.
Tell me when to go.
Go.
The Rock is a football star in a cheap-ass, non-licensed alternate reality league who has no meaningful relationships and generally seems like a hollow shell of materialism and ego. A semi-adorable Muppet shows up saying she's his daughter and needs to have him take care of her for a month while her mom's in Africa. Events occur, including The Rock performing an extended ballet sequence with his perfunctory love interest and a bunch of little girls. Plot twist, the girl's mom is dead. She was supposed to be at ballet camp while her guardian and April O'Neil is in Africa. She takes custody. The Rock is so lonely he gets his shoulder dislocated in the air quotes championship game. His daughter shows up in the locker room to tell him to get back on the field, and he irresponsibly does so, but then biffs his sponsorship line after he wins the not Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then they all dance over the credits. Yeah.
Which, how many times did they make those people listen to and dance to that song?
Like, probably that's, hundreds.
And it wasn't even worth it.
I found it charming. I wish that more movies ended with the cast dancing to something over the credits.
This is after Bend It Like Beckham? Like, that was really good in Bend It Like Beckham.
I forgot yeah. they did it in Bend It Like Beckham. Yeah,
which is a sports movie from, like, a couple years before right. this. Yeah, how weird is it that there was a time when Disney couldn't come to a licensing deal with the NFL and proceeded anyway.
Wasn't this like a really dark time for Disney?
Yeah. I mean, they weren't, but they've never not been Disney.
Okay.
Like, I'm shocked that the producers of a Disney movie walked into the NFL and were like, can we give you some money? And the NFL wasn't just like, yeah, sure.
I'm wondering if they even had the money, right? Like, this is the tank of their animated movies, right? Like, probably at this time, like, Home on the Range is coming out, right? Yeah. Like, or Chicken Little, right? And they never really knew how to make live action movies until they bought other people's IP and let them do it, but with the Disney logo first.
I didn't check. The budget was apparently only $22 million.
Yeah.
So maybe they didn't want it. Maybe they got like a reasonable, like, oh, yeah, you can use everything for $1 million. And they were like, what? No.
Yeah.
That's 5% of our budget. We right. will not. But weird.
But
weird
it is to have distracting.
The like red and blue Patriots colors, but the wrong shade.
And they're called the Rebels.
And clearly Gillette Stadium playing other teams that have the right logo and... But the wrong, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's a bizarre movie.
And also, what Colin was like, is this the Super Bowl? And I'm like, well, they're not allowed to say Super Bowl.
It's really hard to say Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like you're aware of that thing? Like, you can be doing an ad on the Super Bowl and you're not allowed to say Super Bowl.
Really?
Because that costs extra.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's why you always say, like,
the big game.
Our big game specials.
This is, for them not to have the rights to use NFL or Super Bowl or anything like that, there's way too much time spent on this football lifestyle.
Also, the football part at the end drives me absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
I cannot believe that the moral of this story is go risk your team's championship victory, right? This is rude to his team. Also, yeah. What is the coach doing letting him back in?
Right.
Like, why didn't they write in something like the backup quarterback also got hurt, right? It's just like he shows up and he's like, my name's first in the credits. Who cares about my separated shoulder? Put me back in, coach.
Well, yeah. And especially because like they were at least teasing early on this thing where like he doesn't really pass the ball. Like his signature is keeping it and running himself and handling everything himself, to the point where in the early scenes, I was like, oh, I guess everyone on his team is going to hate him because he's this showboat. And then... No, they all go to his ballet. Like,
right? Although that was kind of
I think it was probably.
That was a good
I want to say it was more about for the little girl, the trip to the ballet. But you're right in that the moral of the story should have been that he learns to open up and share.
Right.
There's and, no you more. Know,
yeah. But also, his little tagline, never say no. We're teaching this to our daughter.
Yeah, that's a serious problem.
We're doing this.
I could get never say impossible. That's right. Fine. Never say
can't.
Can't. Yeah, it doesn't ring.
Can't say can't.
Can't. That's a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never say no is very bad. And I didn't even think about how much worse it is when you've got an 8-year-old daughter running around.
Well, he actually literally says it to her. He's like, oh, and what's our tagline? Oh, never God. Say no. And I'm like, we have some concerns. I think CYF wants to speak to you.
I would like to direct everyone's attention to the history of improv comedy pre-2020.
Here are fewer facts than usual because
nobody cares.
This movie does not exist. Document facts
are not many. Released September 20th, 2007, won its opening weekend with $22.9 million. Not good, but not terrible.
Right.
Like, that's what time of year was it?
September.
Mm. Like, especially in 2007.
Yeah, that's not bad. Won over the Peter Berg action movie The Kingdom, which was in the second.
I have no knowledge of that.
Maybe 2007 was a very dark year for movies.
I wasn't going to the movies as much in 2007. I was in law school, so like didn't have time for that shit.
Yeah, actually, I wasn't going to the... I haven't seen many of these movies. Number one in 2007 was Spider-Man 3.
Mm. I did see that.
I've never seen that.
Oh, Sean, sometime you should watch it.
I hate Spider-Man 2. I do what? Not. I do not like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 2. And so I was like, well, I didn't like that one, and everyone said it was great. Now people say this one's bad, so I'm definitely not going to bother with this one.
I'm still gasping. Spider-Man 2 is so good.
I'm with you, Sean.
Oh my god.
I barely got through the first one.
20 years ago, but I barely remember it. But what I remember is she Mary Jane or the other one?
Mary Jane.
Who's the other one?
Gwen Stacy.
Gwen Stacy. Mary Jane, like, apparently making it as far to having her wedding dress on and then leaving to be like, but I actually love you after all, undercutting everything the first two movies were about. The entire, like, risks to my family, great power, great responsibilities is completely blown away if you just stick a dumb happy ending onto the end of the second movie. That's all I remember about Spider-Man.
Okay, I have watched so many movies where a woman in a wedding dress runs away to be with her one true love that does not register with me as a plot problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of been ingrained in us as women that
change on the way, at least. I've seen wedding photos. You have 14 things on hangers and 72 bridesmaids, and that's what weddings are like, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Spider-Man, not mine. Mine was very modest.
Spider-Man 3, Shrek the Third, the first Transformers, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
300. I remember seeing that.
A movie I've never seen. I think that is the movie that the most people have seen that I have not seen.
I mean, I feel like you kind of missed the mark. Like, it's not like really,
oh, I have no interest in it.
other than the cinematic vastness of it, like to see it on the big screen, yes, that was it. I found it very fun, but like the actual script is like,
But he kicks that guy and he falls in a big hole.
That's great. I love
pretty
it.
Pretty good. Still good.
Love it.
One of my favorite gifs is that, but it's this is Sparta, but instead of captioning it that, it's red sauce on pasta, and it syncs up perfectly. Looks like he's just really mad.
What?
Does this
red
count?
Red sauce on pasta.
Yeah.
Why would you be mad about red sauce on pasta?
No, it's not. It looks like that's what he says before he kicks the guy into the hole.
I think it's just random words.
But I think what he's saying is that you did not put red sauce on. But the rule is red sauce on pasta.
There's all sorts of sauces you can put on pasta.
But some people are very firm about it.
Okay.
I'm not that. I don't particularly love red sauce. Does this count as talking about the game plan? We're still in the segment. This was a 2-week winner. It repeated the following weekend. It barely fended off the Farrelly Brothers comedy, The Heartbreak Kid. I think that's
a remake. Yes, it's a remake, and Kevin McDonald will talk at you for one solid hour about everything that is wrong with the remake of The Heartbreak Kid and everything that is right with the original, which I've still never seen.
More handily defeated fellow debuts The Seeker: The Dark Is Rising. I had truly never heard of that in my life. That was like a wannabe fantasy series starter that didn't make $10 million.
Wow.
And Feel the Noise also came out that second
weekend.
What
is that?
No recollection.
I think it was a dance thing.
What was I doing in 2007? Like, honestly, because none of this stuff is registered at all.
I was trying to figure out what the fuck standing is, and it turns out that's not relevant to the practice of law anymore.
These movies came out. They did not beat the game plan. Fell to second in its third weekend. It made a total of $90.6 million. 32nd overall for 2007. Like, that's completely respectable.
Wow.
Despite how nothing
just full on wow.
How boring is this movie? The most interesting thing about it is a branding issue. This is a Disney movie. It is the last movie distributed under the name Buena Vista Pictures.
Okay. Huh.
I learned this. I didn't know. In the very early days of Disney, Disney was not a distributor. They did not distribute their own movies.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that. Disney movies were distributed by RKO.
Holy shit!
For many years.
Well.
And there was a dispute where RKO didn't care about their nature documentaries, which Walt was big into.
Right.
And so they formed Buena Vista Pictures initially to distribute The Living Desert, which won Best Documentary that year.
Beautiful.
At the Oscars. And after that, they made up this company, Buena Vista Pictures, to distribute movies. They use that name on all sorts of things. Part of the land in Florida is Lake Buena Vista, Florida.
Right.
And just used that name for like 50 years. But in 2007, they just decided we need to simplify, rebranded to Walt Disney Studios Motion Pictures.
Wow.
And this was the last one. That's the most interesting thing about this movie.
You're right. That is the most interesting thing about this movie.
It's also the last movie where Dwayne is billed as Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I was surprised to see that, truthfully.
Last time, his ninth feature overall. Here, I'll just tell you what they are, because what else are we going to do? Did we watch The Mummy Returns, or did we watch The Scorpion King?
I think The Mummy Returns. Because I remember
we didn't see the Brendan Fraser one, did we? We saw The Scorpion King and it was real boring.
Oh, The Mummy Returns is the one with the really bad CGI.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, we watched The Scorpion King. Because I remember it was not the one with the really bad CGI.
Those were his first two movies. He did action. He had his little action time where he did The Rundown, Walking Tall. He did Doom. But he had started to do some more. He, like you said, he did Be Cool. Southland Tales was before this.
Oh, that's right.
Mary Beth really
liked
Southland Tales.
I've still never seen Southland Tales, and I really want to.
You can come over. She bought me like a blue, like the Arrow Blu-ray special edition of Southland Tales. Gridiron Gang, another football movie I've never heard of.
Is that also a remake, I think?
That sounds true. No, you're thinking of the one with the prisoners playing football, which got remade around the same time?
With Adam Sandler?
And had lots of wrestlers other than The Rock.
Okay.
Stone Cold Steve Austin and Goldberg and four others are in that. We're going to have our own wrestler in a football
There's
movie.
There's a wrestler named Goldberg?
Yes.
Okay.
He's a very big man.
Goldberg. Mm-hmm. Goldberg.
Is he Jewish? Okay, cool.
I mean, Bill Goldberg in full. But
all right.
Mm-hmm. Like an iceberg? Like a Goldberg.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
It's very soft.
Because, like, I mean, if I was a wrestler, I would just be like Adams. Like, it's just... Yeah.
Depends on how cool your last name is, I guess.
Other stuff.
Yeah, clearly set in Boston, mostly filmed at Gillette Stadium. We talked about how the names and logos are fictional. They could not come to a deal. It was The Rock's idea to make the character a big Elvis Presley fan, because apparently The Rock is a big Elvis Presley fan. A lot of that memorabilia was his own.
I think that really hurt the character in the movie a lot. I found it very distracting.
Oh,
just
interesting.
Over the top. It was too much.
The thing that I didn't understand about the Elvis obsession was that suggests a personality.
Which is otherwise not present.
And like, isn't that kind of the point? That this guy has no... All he cares about is himself and his image.
No, I didn't even get that he cared about himself. Like the whole thing in the ESPN interview, who they did come to a deal. Oh, they own ESPN. Right. That was like, I care about football. I don't even care about myself.
Yeah, but he was lying, right?
It's hard to say.
Okay.
I don't know.
Because he's like repeating, or he's like mouthing along with his speech, right? I read that as I only care about myself, and the words I say are not the words I mean.
Yeah.
Like he's been saying that spiel over mm-hmm. and over again, or he's watched this footage yeah. over and over again.
I don't know. And also, I don't care. Yeah, can we talk about his house, though?
That shower in the bathroom.
Right? Right?
I just liked the shifting walls thing right. where it's like, whenever I don't need a room, I can't see that room.
Right.
So that's nice.
We have in our house lights that you can control with your phone, and you can, most of them just come in, you can dim the yellow or white light, right? Mm-hmm. But we got some that do colors, and I am obsessed with having lighting concepts in my house.
If and I had that ability, I would be too.
It is so much fun for me. It's such, like, when we started buying these, because they're kind of expensive, I was like, this is really stupid, but we don't have kids. We have disposable income, right. And it truly brings me so much joy. And so imagine being able to control my walls with my phone.
Right.
It was that meme from the early days of that being a thing where someone programmed their Google Home or whatever it was to say, if they said, who's that in my swamp, it would turn everything green and play All Star from Shrek.
And he says, romance. Mm-hmm. That's, or she's like, what's romance, right?
Yeah.
Colin and I have that setting.
Nice.
We call it Pound Town. And then in the downstairs, it's called Pound Town Stairs.
Oh, I hate you.
You're gonna cut this out of the episode too?
I pre-cleared it.
Man,
next time you're gonna come with a list, a pre-approved list of things that you'll.
Dear listener, there was content a few weeks ago.
Spicy.
I know. I wish you could have heard it, but you know, people have rights to privacy, I suppose. I could tell you who the director is, which might explain some things.
Who is it?
His name is Andy Fickman.
Did She's the Man?
He's
the man.
He has done almost exclusively crap. He did like an American Pie knockoff sex
dear.
Comedy called Who's Your Daddy is his first feature.
Yikes.
Did She's the Man. Rock must have liked him. They reunited on Race to Witch Mountain. You Again, Parental Guidance, Paul Blart 2, not even the original.
Wow.
Playing with Fire, which is this again with John Cena. They're like, he's a firefighter and some kids wind up at the station and they have to.
It's a whole genre.
Yeah. And most recently.
I don't
recently,
think I like this as a genre.
No, it's not.
I like Kindergarten Cop.
Okay, I was about to say, is there a good one? He had a movie last year. It's called One True Loves. An American romantic comedy drama film, one of those Wikipedia descriptions. Mm-hmm. That's just all the genres.
American comedy, romance, horror film.
After her husband disappears in a helicopter crash, moves back to Massachusetts, mend her life, runs into her old best friend.
Hallmark? Sounds very Hallmarky. Yep.
The guy is back alive. But Simu Liu is in it. He's a real star.
Okay.
This is one of those where it's like, it was released. Where? When? No one knows. So, yeah, this is a director for hire guy. And finally, the dog Spike was played by two dogs. Their names were Tubbs and Tank.
Well played, Tubbs and Tank, you guys.
Actually, that's the most interesting
part. Yes, you know, Tubbs and Tank, I really felt felt their distress when the little girl left.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Best actor in either Tubbs or Tank was the best actor.
They were seamless, so you know, I had no idea. I didn't know when one came in.
I had no idea
left.
It was two dogs.
And early on, like, it feels like they're trying to establish, like, he has a sad, lonely life. And I'm like, hang on. You won the big game. Everybody, like from a public persona, you know, admittedly, that's not everything. Then everybody came over to your house and had a big fun party.
But they left before he wanted them to, Sean, and had leftover wine.
But then he got quiet time with his cool dog.
Right.
Like, I don't
And
feel,
his amazing house.
In his amazing house. Like, if you're trying to sell me on he needs love in his life, you're not doing it.
No, it's not. And especially, and I really hated his football team friends, like, aside from Morris Chestnut.
Why is Morris Chestnut in this movie, though?
What bet did he lose?
Exactly.
Like, and what did they have on you, Morris?
Barely, like, in it. And he's just there to be handsome.
Right. It's like, okay, it's time for Morris and his $1,000 smile.
He is very handsome.
He's so handsome, and his teeth are so white.
They're so... And just, you're right, and he smiles beautifully. I am not upset he was in it because I got to look at him,
right,
but I'm upset he was in it for... he deserves better.
Like, yeah, as like a time stance, like, come on. Like, I'm sure there was something else he could have been doing.
Right?
But yeah, I just the buffoonery that was happening with his teammates.
The white guy who's been in like a million failed sitcoms.
Yeah.
Like, I don't actually have anything against that guy. I'm sorry that you keep having to find a new job every season of television.
What's Yikes, that was rough. Name?
I don't need to know it.
And the other guy, Brian, whatever, I forget his name, but he usually shows up as like, you know, the, oh, I'm about to fuck up your life character in a Tyler Perry movie.
Oh, or sure. Yep.
Whatever. Yeah, like it was just, I didn't like the relationship he had with his so-called friends or his teammates. It was nothing there. It was very false. And then the fact that one thing, like when they come to hang out and watch the game at his place and he's all like, don't drop crumbs, don't make a mess, right, blah, blah, blah. Why is this like this is their first time being around, right, him? Like, I feel like this is a personality trait. Like, this is what he does all the time. And then the whole, like, wiping the cheese off the toot's mouth.
Oh, boy.
His name is Hayes MacArthur, and he's married to Allie Larder. You know what it is? It's that neutered frat boy energy.
Yeah.
But the only redeeming thing about frat boy energy is that you get the distinct impression that, like, if you're anyone in a fraternity, if their frat brother was being arrested, all of the frat brothers would willingly punch the cop in the face. Like, just this, like, completely toxic. That being said, I would die for you, bro. Really? And this doesn't have that. That's like, we are mildly toxic towards one another and do not care about each other in any way.
Yeah. Except for we're going to spend all of our time with each other outside of work.
Yeah, it does. There's just no believable relationships in this movie. Mm-hmm. Also, were you in a frat, Sean?
No.
I also had that moment of, wait, what?
No.
My mom was in a sorority, and I remember when I found that out, I was like, everything makes no sense. And she's like, it was cheaper than the dorms. And I was like, it makes
there
sense.
It is.
You know how I observed it for like 6 months? This was like Jane Goodall. It was, I worked as a wing delivery guy. Like, I delivered, it was wings over Happy Valley. Inevitably, half of those would go to frat houses, and it would take 15 minutes for someone to figure out who had ordered the wings and if they had money. So that's just all this time where I could stand there like observing how they live, how they act.
I was in a sorority for like a month and I was like, no thanks.
This is enough of that.
Yeah.
Oh, as we said, we watched this movie quite a while ago, so I don't remember writing this. I may have been asleep. But I wrote, you know when you get fast food French fries and there's one that's like in the shape of a fry, but it's just batter with no potato in there?
Yes.
That's this movie.
Ooh, nice metaphor. Yeah. Like, yeah. Huh. Colin said this movie is what we will get when AI writes movies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense. Because I'm still unclear as to how this little girl got there.
No one knows.
But the aunt allowed her to hop on a plane by herself and just go take herself to
ballet camp.
Okay.
And then ballet camp didn't reach out to her guardian when she didn't show up.
Exactly.
Did the little girl invent a ballet camp and apply and get accepted? And like,
this is Bart going to the International Grammar Rodeo?
Yes, exactly. That's the best I can come up with, but they don't really care about that.
No, there were like several instances where CIS should
also
have been
called.
It's
like, she's in Africa, period.
Right.
Like, you knew that the mom was dead or in jail or something weird, but like, even as they kept teasing that, the only level at which I cared was like, why are none of the adults questioning this?
Yes! Right. And she's like, I have my birth certificate and your name is on it.
Right.
Period.
And nobody is, no adult is calling another adult at all to be like, yo, what is happening right now?
Right. Shouldn't he, like, there are telephones in Africa.
Right. No.
Call. Yes.
You lived there several years.
I was on the phone all the time.
Also, the Kira Sedgwick subplot? What was the point of any of that? Like,
we just needed a quote-unquote villain.
And she's not, though. Like, she just is doing her job, and she's a little mean.
She has no tolerance for cheeky kids. Like, which, you know what? Fine. That's her life. That's what she chose.
Yes. It's not her job to help him bond with his daughter. It's her job to get him $25,000 for saying he wants to go to a fast food restaurant.
Right.
Yeah. Which was such a, like,
Of all the
million,
it was 25 million.
Oh, that makes so much more sense. Sorry.
Of all the low stakes conflicts, it's not like you're endorsing a thing that's killing the elephants.
Right.
Like she's like, those are bad for you.
Right.
Like so are a lot of things. Shut up. It's $25 million.
Half the shit in his house was bad for her.
She's very judgmental.
they are.
I suppose this adds to let's try to be kind to the film when I ask. What is the point? Like, I know in actuality, nothing. But what does the movie think the point is?
I think the movie just trying to fall into that whole, well, this is a manly man, and oh, now he's got a kid, and oh, what do I do with the kid? Nah. And then we find out that he loves the kid and wants to be with the kid. And you know what? And that whole thing with, like, him freaking out. It's like, oh, I want her to live with me. I've had her for a month. I've been doing a great job. Okay. 1 month she's been in your care.
Right.
But also, like, bro, you are, like, a millionaire. You can't just be like, okay, that's cool.
Right.
I can just come fly out to you guys.
Also, oh, my God. If I had a kid with my ex-husband and he was a star quarterback, I would fucking get some fucking child support.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he would know. Oh, he would know that child existed.
Right?
You could, like, you could hate him. He could be a criminal. No matter what, you'd be like, we don't have to talk, but you have to give me money.
Unless she's like an oil heiress or something.
Which I don't get that from what we...
Maybe that's why April O'Neil was in Africa, because she feels guilty about being a rich kid. All right. We can write our own movie that makes sense.
Who is it?
Go ahead.
Her aunt.
Oh, her. Isn't that the name of the reporter?
She played April O'Neil in several of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Oh, Karen. That
Paige
was her name.
Paige Turco is the name of the actor, and she's one of those people who, whenever she shows up in something, I'm like, hey.
Yeah, the character's name was Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Which also, okay.
I was so confused when she showed up and he looked at her like she was dead.
Right.
Because I just assumed, like, I think you're meant to, that she's the
mom.
And
The
Rock,
me too,
is not a good enough actor to convey, I thought you were dead. Let's all realize that she's not the mom, that she's the aunt.
Right.
No. They did not nail that moment.
It took a long time. Yes. It took a long time. I was like, why does he keep saying her name? It's like, oh, yeah, this is who it's supposed to be.
Right.
And I guess I'm also confused. I didn't catch. Where did the little girl come from? Where do they live? Because Karen has a Boston accent.
Oh, my God. So she'd been, like, down the road this whole time.
That's what I'm...
So if it's about what you're telling me it's about, why don't they put any obstacles in his way?
Right.
It's like the perils of having to raise a child starting when they can already, you know, go to the bathroom and dress themselves.
Right. Yeah.
With millions of dollars and infinite resources.
Yeah. Like, can we, exactly. Like, this kid successfully got herself to you.
Yes.
Like, did some traveling across however many states that we're supposed to believe. And so she's good.
Yeah.
She knows. And, like, the most inconvenient thing is what? She bedazzled your football, making it look 1,000 times better.
Okay. Also, that jacket that he had with the little bedazzled flower, that would become a huge fucking trend.
Oh, absolutely. I was like, what is the problem?
Yes.
Like, I feel other than maybe it could be a little higher so you don't break the bedazzles.
Right. Yes. I guess sitting down on that jacket would be a problem. But come on.
If we haven't put you off ever watching this movie already, here's the trailer.
World-class athlete Joe Kingman had it all. Adoring fans, cool cars, and the kind of life anyone would envy. Until the day fate came to his door.
My name is Peyton. I'm your daughter.
Mm-hmm. Papa's got a brand new bag.
Hello.
I never had a kid.
My birth certificate. Your name is on it.
My name's not on this. Joseph Kingman.
From Walt Disney Pictures, he will demand discipline.
Do you need chocolate?
We don't do simple sugars in this house.
Kids love sugar.
Well, my dad never let me have sugar.
Oh, is that why you never smile?
But he never had to tackle a challenge this big.
I am not qualified for this.
Moms, go over there.
Now, he's going to need
a little bit of bubble bath.
Peyton?
A whole new game plan.
Peyton!
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Want a cookie?
What do you put in the cookie?
Milk, flour, cinnamon.
I'm allergic to cinnamon.
Go f*** Boston Rebels.
Get the magic.
The game plan.
Spike!
This movie is bad. The trailer makes it look worse.
I agree.
I felt dread after I watched the trailer.
I watched the trailer at red lights on the way to the studio. And it made me feel even more annoyed about not catching a green.
And the Letterboxd list is movies where emotionally closed off people have to take care of one or a bunch of kids and they end up bonding, and the poster is all the kids standing around and the adults looking at the camera like, shrug, what are you going to do? That's the genre you're talking about. Yes.
And that, how many are on that list?
Oh, so many. So many.
I made a Letterboxd list for this called The Dancing at the End is the Best Part and It's Not Even Close, which also has Saltburn.
Well, save it for You Can't Handle the Truth.
We already talked. Oh, you watched it? Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. We'll save it.
That's more than we talked about Dragon and Bruce Lee story. Good job, everybody.
Hey. All right. We stayed on point.
20. And that feels generous.
That's so nice.
That feels like a gift. Only because there's nothing upsetting. I guess I was never enraged other than by my own boredom. So
no, I got mad at various points at how little things made sense and how little this all needed to exist. So I'm going 8.
Good.
Oh, wow. Wait. Damn. Considering that there were only like 2 moments that I genuinely laughed, and I didn't mind the little girl, I'm going to say 25.
The ballet scene was fine.
But it was so confusing. Why does it exist? Why does he have a love story with her ballet teacher? Why did they make a big deal about how he's wearing that goofy outfit and then he gets to put a top over it, which makes it much less goofy?
Right, yeah. I also like the teacher, the ballet teacher.
Yeah.
She's fine, but why is she there?
Romantic subplot.
Because we just, but yeah,
why?
Because I guess that's part of the formula. That was what was put into the AI,
yeah,
to the computer.
17 2/3. That I'll have to double check where exactly, but that will be in our bottom 10. Welcome to the bottom of the list.
Also, the game plan. I don't think I like Dwayne Johnson with hair.
Oh, absolutely not. He looks much better bald.
Showed up back in wrestling.
Oh.
Probably gearing up for what will be his final match.
I think I saw something on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Somebody was recording their reaction to it. Like some woman, yeah, was there and there was like, I guess they played his music and the crowd goes ape shit, and I don't know what his music is. But.
Yeah. And then he said a lot of things and then teased that he would fight his cousin Roman Reigns, who was in Hobbs and Shaw.
Roman Reigns is his cousin?
So here's the thing.
Okay, in fiction?
No.
Okay.
Every Samoan wrestler is kind of related.
Okay, because there's just not that many people in Samoa.
Half of them are actually related. Half of them are semi-related because there's this weird Samoan blood brother thing, which is like considered like family.
Yes.
And also there's only, you know, a handful of people who live in Samoa. So all Samoan wrestlers are related.
Cool. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to fight. Maybe in Perth. There's a big show in Perth.
Okay.
And the Perth people were just like, we want The Rock. And WWE was like,
can't say no to Perth, Australia.
Can't say no to Perth. I think Perth put all of Perth's money in a big bag labeled, give us The Rock. And
I know nothing about Perth except for that it's in Australia. That's
right.
The
and I'm out.
Start and finish.
I think it's on the other side. You know, however,
which other side?
Everything is kind of down and to the right if you're looking at the map. Sydney and the other thing.
I thought Perth. Sydney was on the left. It's just what I know.
We're going to get a map later. Yeah. In the meantime, to the bingo card. It's a new bingo card. Walk us through the first bingo card of 2024.
We have those a couple returning boxes. Can I ask you a question? Movie released after 2010. New to the board is a character sits at a desk. Directorial debut contains a place in the title. Movie connected to Barbie movie somehow. And what I'm looking for where that's concerned is just like, you know, obviously like just the one degree. Like there's an actor who was in Barbie, mm-hmm, or the director, blah, 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 that kind of thing. Oh, and also movie released the year you were born. So the tricky thing on that is, and I'm not sure if I want to do it this way, but if it was 1976 and only I would get that.
Yeah.
Box. And then.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
And mm-hmm, so on. And the same for you too.
I like that a lot. We should do more of those.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah, that's where we are.
This time around, Camila pointed out photo taken. Yep. There's certainly paparazzi and such at the another completely unnecessary subplot where he's opening a restaurant and he leaves her there with no consequence.
No consequences.
5 minutes.
No.
Just people saying, oh, this is going to look so bad for your image. Right. And everybody gets over it.
Very quickly, because she is cute at the press conference.
I think we can count. Can I ask you a question where she quizzes him at the beginning?
Yes.
That's all I got.
Wait, was there anybody that sat at a desk? We never, no.
No, because Kira Sedgwick is always running around with her bitch heels.
That's all I got. Well, that's it for now. Sydney is in Southeast Australia. So are Melbourne, Adelaide, and Brisbane.
So you were right. Everything's on the down and to the right.
Perth is the one all the way on the other side.
So, yeah, okay.
And it's probably farther than, like, New York and L.A. Like, it's a giant landmass. I would go there, but all the animals kill you.
Yeah, I want no parts of it. Like, their nature landscape, no thanks.
It's also so far away that I don't know if I can make it. Like, I know I'm only pushing 39 as this episode comes out. But like,
you spend some time in California and go from California.
But how long is that flight?
I don't actually know. I used to take a 16-hour flight like 4 times a year. You get used to it.
I still think if I had money and I could do first class, I'm just big enough in both height and carriage that like after 3 hours in an airplane seat, I actually can't move my back.
Yeah.
So big, like 14, I'm like, I think I would die.
They're bigger planes. It's a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does this have to do with anything? In such a busy movie season, we got to do You Can't Handle the Truth. Camila, you watched Saltburn. I swear more people have given me their opinion on Saltburn.
It was on Prime at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Than anything else.
Also, I feel really good about the fact that everyone I know when they watch Saltburn texts me, what the fuck? including Camila.
There were 3 definite what the fuck moments, and I just this fucking
the sound of Saltburn.
I don't know. Like, okay. Ooh. Okay, so this is for like the first 3/4 of the movie. I'm just in basically that state. Just like, what is the point of this? Mm-hmm. What is happening? Mm. What's going on? What tale are we telling?
Mm.
And then we get to like the last 10-15 minutes of the movie and they're like, oh, plot twist as fuck. And it's like, oh, which I became literally, I got to the edge of my couch, which I'm like, okay, you know, I don't know if that entire setup was worth it, but yes, I like where this has gone. So, I mean, as far as filmmaking goes, yes, this movie was spot on. It stays with you.
I keep thinking about the curtain scene where all the table, they draw the curtains and then the room gets really red.
Yeah.
And then they all start doing really weird shit.
That scene cracked me up. I love that.
It's a really good scene. Listen, there are really good things in Saltburn and then a lot of just weird stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I say fucked up and weird, it's not necessarily bad, but it's like stuff that I've never seen on screen before.
Fucked up and weird, complimentary.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. Just like, okay, this bathtub is inventive. The bathtub. You know, you hear people talk about it. Like, I would drink your bathwater. Never.
I maintain that the grossest part of that is the amount of tongue to drain contact.
Yes.
Like, I can get I don't want to drink your bathwater or your fluids, but like, I'm like, well, people do that. But I'm like, you don't lick the metal part. What? You're a madman.
Yeah. And then also the whole little garden scene with him and old girl. And
just,
like,
we need to work. Hollywood needs to do a better job with prop menstrual blood.
I couldn't see. And like, it. I don't know.
It's not that red.
Because you were looking away.
Yeah, right. It was just a whole lot of just a lot of dry heaving. A lot like, did I hear him right when he said that? Am I seeing this right? Is there something? So yeah, it stays with you because honestly, I thought like 48 hours later, I was still just like, would wake up and just like, really? And then the grave scene with, you know, and then, you know, with the end, you know, he's just like flopping around all over the place. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, was there like a big, like, oh my God, way to go, Barry? Like, I mean, it seemed like an average size penis.
People are making a huge deal about it. Yes.
I'm telling you,
and I are aligned.
Running around a drafty building and you still look at that level, you're doing, then that means under optimal conditions, it'd be down to your knees. But, that's my theory.
But also just like as Barry, what's his name? Konenberg? Bart Kernan?
Keegan? Kyogen? Keegan? I don't know.
He is an interesting fellow.
He really is.
Because it's like, one, he could play 12 or fucking 80.
100%.
Yeah. And, you know, all in the same
fucking
film.
So he works well in this movie because it takes some time.
Right.
Yeah.
And then also it's like, he's also, I wouldn't look at him a second. Like if he were to approach you in a bar.
No,
but there's something at some point about him that's like, oh yeah, you could get it.
Some people are like, really, really into him.
Yeah, I mean, and I can see Yeah, like at some point, like, yeah, I think like after, you know, a couple tequila shots, you know, he talks his talk, I'd be like, all right, Barry, let's go.
I would be like, this guy is going to lock me up in a basement. But I'm pretty sure the first thing I ever saw him in was Killing of the Sacred Deer. So,
oh, yeah, that was the first thing. Me too.
He said to someone recently he's aware that he's, quote, looked at as the weird looking guy, the unique, feckin' freaky little freak man child, freak child man, whatever you want to call it. But he knows that he is now, quote, now I'm just man, freak man, man freak. That was in an article about how he almost died of flesh-eating necrosis.
What?
What?
He got the flesh-eating disease.
Oh, my God.
Which has like a 1 in 5 chance it's just going to kill you. It delayed the start of Banshees of Inisherin. And like he asked the doctors, like, can you guarantee that I'm not going to die? And they were like, no, we hope not. Right. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't think any doctor wants to make that guarantee.
Yeah, I was just going to say everybody dies.
Right. Right. Like, what are you saying?
Are you driving
more
to
specific.
Set?
Specific. I did see May, December. I don't know.
And thoughts?
I don't like Julianne Moore.
I still can't believe it.
But the guy who plays the boy.
Charles Melton.
That's the actor's name.
Mm-hmm.
He did a really great
job. He was so good.
The whole conveying of like this person that's been in this, basically an arrested development.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't know any different. And like, that's exactly how I would imagine somebody who was victimized at 13, mm-hmm. was like made to marry and procreate with their victimizer, their abuser, and then just basically was raised by mm-hmm. them for like the last 20 years or however long. And poor thing.
He really, I think it's a very well written role, but I think that he made the most of it also because it's a small role, yeah. right? He's not the focus of the film, but he gets so much of that across,
yeah,
without talking that much.
Yeah.
So really good performance.
So like, yeah, I think he's probably the best part of the whole movie.
Yeah.
I did like it as a whole, and I thought it was kind of just like, I don't know why we it was so thinly veiled as to who was actually about.
Oh yeah.
Like,
I mean,
instead of a school teacher, we worked
changed.
At a pet store.
Right, yes. Details were changed.
I mean, I got a little like, shut up, it's not about you. When the real life guy was like, they never talked to me. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's why they changed all of the names and enough identifying details was literally not you. Because
also,
it's a filmmaker like riffing on a subject, like, not a
Law
literal,
and Order, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ripped from the headlines. And also, this is not, that happens, right? They are not the only people who did
right.
that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's worth it. It's like a Saturday afternoon watch.
100%. I really liked it.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, I love Todd Haynes as a filmmaker. I think mm-hmm. that normal people will enjoy watching this movie is what I mean to say.
Mm-hmm. Documentary on Little Richard. I Am Everything. It's on Showtime. It's really good. I didn't go in knowing anything really about Little Richard.
I was going to say, I know nothing about Little Richard except for like what he looked like in some of his music. And so I would love to watch that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if there is one, but I would really like to see a biopic about his life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I know that he always claims like, I started this whole thing, blah, blah, blah. But like this documentary has receipts. You know, it's just like
the guy who played Little Richard in Elvis was so hot.
Yeah.
What's he up to?
Right. Like, yeah, let's just go ahead and just extend that role.
Yes.
Let him move
right.
on.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Spin it off.
And Rye Lane, I finally saw that.
How is that?
It's so good. Like, I'm not like your rom-com, mm-hmm. really, your rom-com audience. Like, I can tolerate them. But this one, like, I just found myself just like grinning just mm-hmm. randomly throughout the movie. It was really nice to see an attainable couple in like in a rom-com, especially a black couple. Like, mm-hmm. I know they're probably in their like maybe 20s, late 20s or whatnot, but it was like all very relatable. It's like, yes, these are circumstances in which I could see that it happened to me as well. Like mm-hmm. a lot of times when we do have any romantic or rom-com type movies where black people are the center of it, they're always just these like really over the top, just like blown out characters with like, I am the CEO of this company that doesn't really ever exist. And I have like $1 million, you know, like,
yeah.
It's just like, over like we're overcompensating. And it's like, I just want to see regular people
have a regular love story.
Right.
Oh, that's such a good point.
And these guys, like the two, Vivian Opara, I think maybe was her name, and I forget the guy's name, but they had such great chemistry. They were both so cute and adorable, and just like, and even and not even just them, just like the actual filmmaking, the cinematography, and the there was like a heavy use of like a fisheye lens or the wide lens, which it works. Like
okay,
you fall in love with the city, with the character because of it. Everything is vibrant. Even like the background actors are like doing their thing. Like it's just it's a damn near perfect movie.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I love every bit of it. And I'm let me shout out to the director. And I think this is only like her second feature length film, which I would love to see more from her, Rainn Allen Miller. So good on her. And I think that's all I saw.
Speaking of rom-coms, Anyone But You, Just a Pleasant Time.
Which one is that?
Anyone But You.
No one even knows which one this is. It's got Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, Sydney Sweeney and that guy.
And that very handsome man, yeah. Glenn Powell.
Yes.
Cheeky, awkward, and brash is what the internet says.
We were trying to see Poor Things in a movie theater. Because
it looks cool.
Because it looks cool, and yeah. I had only watched the screener. And just missed the time, and I was kind of like, nah, sure, we'll see a rom-com. It's just nice. Isn't it nice that there are still some movies that are just nice little movie times? Right. And I feel like they're hiding because they wanted this to draw in people who want to see raunchy stuff and boobs.
Yeah.
And it's actually an updated Not As You Like It, Much Ado About Nothing. It's one of those, down to like scenes where characters have conversations loudly so that other characters yeah. will hear them. Like it does all of the stuff. You can't really screw that up,
right?
Yeah.
Like with good Shakespeare comedy, like right. it just always works and it's fun and nice. Go have a day. Nice. Go out to dinner and see a romantic kind of sexy movie, everybody.
Nice.
Bottoms is so good.
I still haven't seen Bottoms.
Oh, it's so fun.
My understanding is that Bottoms does what I wanted Joyride to do, in that it exists yeah. in an alternate universe where heightened comedy can happen.
Yes, but in a, I truly believe that the writer-director Rachel Seligman, who also did Shiva Baby, she's inventing a new comedic language for movies because it does that, but without the winking, we're cool like Anchorman way of doing that.
Right.
It is somehow heightened and grounded at the same time. It's really funny. The cast is so great. You can rent that for nothing. Watch Bottoms. I also liked Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret. I'm sorry that I'm 8 months late.
Yeah.
This is another
great
just
fucking movie.
I still haven't seen it.
Charming, nice movie. American Fiction, which is one of those things that is going to get nominated for everything, and no, I feel like very few people are going to watch, and it won't actually win them.
That's only in like select theaters, isn't it?
Yeah, it was New York and LA in the middle of December, and then they said wide release December 22nd, but wide release did not mean
happened.
Pittsburgh. It's finally coming out this week in Pittsburgh.
Is
yeah,
it?
Yes. I think it's going to be at the Manor.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, obviously, because right. I live in Pittsburgh.
Right.
But it won the TIFF People's Choice Award. Mm. And there was like a period of time where people were like, the TIFF People's Choice Award is the predictor of who's going to win Best Picture. Mm. And yeah. I need to double check that. But that seems to be going away.
Yeah. If you saw the 40-year-old version Rada Blank's movie from 2020.
And if you haven't, yes. watch it.
It's on Netflix.
It's so good.
My number one movie of that year. That is a much better and more interesting version of American Fiction. This is just like a sanded down of a very, very similar story. In the literary world rather than the theater world, I guess that's a difference, but it's just kind of fine. The cast is great. And anyone who gets nominated, I'm not going to be mad about it.
I mean, they got nominated for SAG Best Ensemble, which means SAG nominee Erica Alexander, a thing. I love that.
Who reminded me
who? She was on Living Single.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Night Swim is bad. That's the one where the pool is spooky.
I keep seeing one-star reviews of that on Letterboxd.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if what I expect. Is that Eli Roth?
No. It is a very young writer-director that Blumhouse threw some money at, adapting his own short. And it turns out pool, if spooky, is not a whole movie.
It seems like Blumhouse isn't Blumhouse than like they used to.
No, they are. You just didn't see all of these. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of two-star Blumhouse movies
Wasn't
that came
the
out.
Sunflower Kristen Stewart movie we watched Blumhouse?
Isn't that before Blumhouse existed?
I don't know.
But it feels like one.
It feels like one.
You know, Carrie Condon is the mom in that?
Oh, my God.
Poor
Academy Award nominee, Carrie Condon.
Carrie Condon. I will leave you with... Society of the Snow, if you are not like, I will not watch a movie with lots and lots of cannibalism, and if you are, that's fine. I'm not going to blame you for that. This is about the rugby team crashing. In the
but are they all hot in the way that they were in Alive? In real life.
Yes.
Hit right when I was starting to be interested in cute boys. And so I fully watched that cannibalism movie.
They're definitely all hot. I mean, they're also very dirty. Like, yeah. Like it feels like you can smell the movie.
No, I was just going to say, this is not dissuading me.
I feel like it's not a great movie. It has the best plane crash I've ever seen. I think where VFX technology has advanced to the point where I'm very, very aware of what happens when a plane crashes in harrowing detail.
Yikes.
We're focusing too much on the cannibalism of that true life story, and I understand it is hard to get past the cannibalism. They were there for like 2 months, and then two guys hiked out of the mountains, over several mountains, with no equipment for 50 miles to get help.
Wow.
I feel like that's the headline.
That should have been the story, yeah.
It's like, yes, you had to nibble on your friends to stay alive to get there. They had no food. They had no equipment. They didn't even have warm weather clothing.
Oh, my God.
And they were in the middle of the Andes, so they had to go up a mountain, down a mountain, up a mountain, down a mountain for 50 miles to tell someone, hey, we're still alive up there.
Hang on. Warm weather clothing?
They did not have any, they did not have any cold weather clothing.
Okay, am I really confused about snow?
I guess I just understood what he meant.
I just was being annoying.
It is way too long. This is one of those times I did not check how long the movie was, and then checked an hour in and found out I had an hour and a half to go.
Does this movie really like hone in on the cannibalism?
No, and it's not very graphic.
Okay.
I mean, you have to like look carefully. Because they're trying to ignore the fact that they're eating people.
But I guess, this happened in what, the 80s?
70s, I think.
Okay, so yeah, this is why the cannibalism was the headline in the 70s. Like, if that movie had come out, or if that had happened today, absolutely, cannibalism, eating their friends would have been like real bottom.
Really?
I think so.
If it bleeds, it leads.
I don't know, man. I feel like we're just all like a very, just this is a society just like... Yeah, I mean, we assumed that, but how did they get out? Like, that's more like where we are now, I feel like. Like, I would immediately assume that, after 2 months, somebody got eaten.
They tried to pretend. When I read the Wikipedia, great movie to read the Wikipedia afterwards. Apparently, like, when they first got down there, they didn't want to admit to the cannibalism.
Of course not.
So people were like, what did you eat? And they kind of looked at each other and said, there was some cheese. And then they're like, we found plants, grass. But the first thing they said was there was a lot of cheese on the plane. I feel like all the reporters are like, hear that and are like, you ate each other, didn't you?
Jeez, okay.
Oh, boy. Lots of movies. Robin?
I saw The Color Purple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I really liked it. I saw it with a really great audience. Mm. We, like, clapped after all the songs. Nice. And, like, it was really powerful in the theater. And it has mostly exited my mind. Yeah. And I think that the problem is that the music, and I had no familiarity with the musical. The performances of the music is much better than the actual music, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard to, like, hum a song from that.
Right.
But the actors are so in it. Yeah. Like, the actors are just truly giving it their all. Like, especially Fantasia and Danielle Brooks. Like, it's just like, oh, my God. Like, wow, right? Yeah. And then the parts where they're not singing are just, they're always falling a little bit flat.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Louis Gossett was still alive, so it was exciting when he showed up. And I do think it's worth watching. I wish it were better.
Yeah.
Is kind of where I landed on it. And I'm really glad I saw it in the theater with a good audience so that I could fully appreciate the good parts.
I don't know how eager I am to watch it.
I saw significantly less sad.
Okay. Okay. Because I saw the original one probably a little bit younger than I should have.
Me too. I think I was like 12 when I saw it, and it was really dark and horrifying.
And that really left a mark.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm really eager to read
it. It kind of made me want to watch the first one again, but then I was like, why would I do that to myself?
Right.
I was 37, and I thought, I'm ready for this now.
I watched it again sometime in my mid-30s, and it's a fucking great movie that is so painful.
Yeah.
Danielle Brooks is great. The whole cast is great. Coleman Domingo is great.
Yeah.
Love him.
I accept Danielle Brooks or Divine Joy Randolph winning Best
Divine Joy Randolph, Davine, I recently learned. Angela Bassett said it wrong at the Golden Globes.
Either one of them can win Best Supporting Actress. Yeah. Very, very good.
You know what? If Angela Bassett said my name, quote unquote, wrong.
Right. That's how it is now.
I was just going to say, she could call me Rachel and I'd be like, well, my name's Rachel now.
Right. It's like, excuse me, I'm on my way to the DMV. Correct. To driver's license.
Exactly. And then I also watched Past Lives, my new favorite movie of 2023. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. It's just one of those movies. Like, this is it's literally my favorite plot is when people love each other but can't be together, right? Like, and it's like love is complicated, period.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. Even though my love life is really simple, I've always loved that since I was a little kid. Casablanca is my favorite movie.
But you've never had that in real life.
And so, you know, the performances are incredible. The dude is so good looking also. Sorry, this has been an exceptionally horny episode of this show.
It's been a horny year for filmmaking.
Yeah.
Like, speaking as the one who likes ladies in the room, there was so much nudity and sex scenes by very famous people, which didn't have Jennifer Lawrence and Emma Stone just so naked all year.
And Florence Pugh, I know exactly what her boobs are shaped like.
Yeah, it's been a good year for horniness.
So, and then also John McGarrow's good too. That one shot towards the end, I literally felt like I fell through the floor, and the callback shot.
Yeah.
And when the movie ended, I rewound 10 minutes and rewatched the last 10 minutes twice in a row.
That's a very good sign.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I was too emotional to like completely appreciate everything that was said. Yeah. And so I was like, I got to watch it again. And then it happened again.
I'm sorry, my sobs drowned out the most of this.
And then this is after last year I woke up Colin when he was upstairs from how much I cried at the end of After Sun. He was sleeping on the couch next to me, but I woke him up because of how much. Because it's like the credits roll and I'm just like,
wailing.
Yes. Like most of the movie I'm just weeping, but then it's over and it truly was wailing.
It's such a good movie. It's a hard sell because like, oh, you got to see this movie. It's about two people who are
pain. It's about
kind of wistfulness. In love.
Yes.
And they think about it a lot and they have a lot of feelings and sometimes they walk around and it's hard to like be like, yeah, I'm sitting down for that one, but you really should.
It is a huge credit to the movie. I rented it. It's a huge credit to the movie that the husband character is not a jerk.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And it seems like a good husband.
Yeah.
Right? Like and also when she goes to find your husband retreat, I want to live in that universe, which apparently they said it was Montauk.
Yeah.
I have visions of Montauk that are not what Montauk is, entirely based on the Montauk monster.
Mm. My visions are based on Friends. Mm. That Greta Lee is what I just saw. I the only other thing that I can right off think of that I've seen her in, and she's a new actress to me that I've been I like her. She's on The Morning Show.
Yes. So I spent the whole movie being like, what do I recognize this person from? She's been in so many comedy things. Like, really? I think she started in comedy, but I didn't remember her from them. I was like, I know that's not, I've seen you, but that's not what I'm recognizing you from. And when I realized it was The Morning Show, which is not a show I actually watch.
Oh, really?
But it's on in my presence because Colin watches it.
Oh, does he?
Yes. I was surprised.
I like that show.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Russian Doll. Did you watch Russian Doll?
I didn't. Yeah.
One of the only shows I've actually seen. Mm-hmm. So, great number one movie. Do you have one, Camila?
What?
A number one movie of 2023?
Well, I guess like I made like the little list on social
media. I was going to say, I saw your list on social media.
And that was not in any particular order, but looking at that list, I guess I would have to say, but now since I have seen Rye Lane from 2023, I would have to say Rye Lane.
Awesome.
Yeah. I think that's my number one of 2023.
Mm-hmm. I love that we both watched our favorite movie of 2023 last week.
Right?
The panel's number one movies are Rye Lane, Poor Things, and Past Lives. Watch all three. Tell us who's right. We all are. It's subjective, everybody. We are all right. We are allowed to all be right.
Exactly. All three, though, are based on as a love story. Is that Poor Things?
I don't think Poor Things is a love story.
Okay.
It's no.
Okay.
What will we be watching next? I just want it to be interesting. I don't care if it's bad. I don't care if it's good. I don't care if it's new. I don't care if it's old.
Give me
just
something bad to be met to talk about. Like, even if, you know,
want a movie with some meat on its bones. Forgive my lack of cultural literacy. Remind me what Guarding Tess is.
Oh, it's Nicolas cute. Cage. Yeah, and Shirley MacLaine. That's a cute movie. I can't believe it. That's on our list.
I know, right? What was that? Late 80s, early? No,
somewhere, 90s. I want to say early 90s.
94.
I think I saw that movie in the theater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This was in my era where, we'll see what time it came out in 94, but my best friend Rachel Vassar, her parents were divorced, and she had Fridays with her dad, who lived in West Conshohocken, which was like a mile away from my house. And so we would go hang out in his apartment and sometimes go to the movies together. And so I have seen a lot of movies you wouldn't expect a 10-year-old to go see that came out in 93 and 94.
Right on.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's necessarily fascinating, but there's probably more to talk about.
Probably. I mean, you said Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah.
And Nick Cage.
It's a like, very charming movie.
Nick Cage is like literally, what, a Secret Service agent or something? Guarding Tess.
And she's like the former Secret Lady, I want to say.
Secret Lady?
First
Secret
Lady? That's what they call the president's.
Marilyn Monroe was Kennedy's Secret Lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ew.
All right. Oh, sure. Guarding Tess. Sounds like a pleasant time. You do have to rent it. I'm sorry. But we'll check off that square on the thing. Before we get to that, the game plan was released September 28th, 2007. What was the number one song in America?
Rihanna?
No.
2007.
Take yourself back.
Katy Perry?
No. It was about the right time, but no.
Timbaland.
Does he have hits?
Yeah, he did around then.
I feel like
it was like Timbaland Republic song. Yeah,
featuring Timbaland right, okay. Had a lot of hits.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I guess I don't know. Move into hip hop. I guess Timbaland was the closest.
Move into hip hop.
Oh boy.
T-Chain.
Pain.
T-I-P-T. I have.
T-Chains.
Two Pains. Right. T-Pain.
None of those.
Was it T.I.?
No. And nor was it T.I.
Yeah.
T.I.'s problematic, isn't it?
Uh-huh, yeah.
He was really good. I mean,
I fucking love that song, Whatever You Like.
Yeah.
Me too.
That's like in my...
And Nicole Scherzinger.
Yeah, that's like in my top 10 songs of all time.
That sounds like it got played on the radio next to this song. This song is by a much more famous person.
Oh, good.
Missy? Did she have anything in 2000?
I think that was a fallow period.
A much more famous, but arguably more problematic person.
Oh, Chris Brown.
No.
What's his name? Neo?
No.
I was going to say, Neo's problematic?
I don't know. I'm just
they all are.
I know, like, I'm sure somebody has something.
All male famous people.
Right.
I mean, you know, for a person who has never, like, physically harmed anyone that we know of, one of the most problematic people in our whole culture.
Michael Jackson?
No. He's harmed people. He has clearly harmed people.
Okay, sure. Run me through that again. This person has never harmed anyone.
Physically.
He's never physically harmed anyone that we know of, and yet I would describe him as one of the most problematic cultural figures in the world today. And I do mean today, not merely in 2007.
Wow. That's so loaded.
I know.
I mean, am I being too cruel? Tell me in a minute. Who is a big problem for everyone? What rapper is a big problem for everyone?
R. Kelly.
No.
Not a rapper.
He's harmed people.
Yeah, he's physically
okay,
harmed people.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Wow. I'm really struggling with a big problem for everyone
Ice
who
Cube,
hasn't harmed anyone.
Ice Cube, Ice T.
Can we get a sounds like, Sean?
This is just simply one of the most famous people in the world.
What?
Puff Daddy. What's his name? Dr. Dre.
No. I'm not
Eminem.
I'm not helping beyond a rapper who's one of the most famous people in the world.
She said Eminem.
Yeah, no.
Okay. I would say he's a good example of someone who I'm like, just no. Just no.
He seems fine. Did you see that? I don't know. I don't care that much about Eminem or Ed Sheeran, but when it came out that Ed Sheeran in his show at Detroit started playing Stan, and then
no, what?
And then Eminem surprise appeared and like did Stan. I was like, I love both of you.
Get
now.
Me out of this room. Oh God, that's the last thing I want.
fucking hell.
Does this person have like? Are they like a MAGA person? Is that what you're saying? That they're trouble for
Kanye.
Everyone?
Kanye.
What?
Thank you.
Gold digger.
No, not gold digger.
Jesus walks.
No, this is. I think those are both before this.
Okay.
Workout plan.
Yes, but what? But what is that song called?
It's not called the workout plan.
Oh no, I'm just thinking. If you were trying to get buff, you might say that you wanted to be
stronger.
Stronger. Is there a separate song called Workout Plan?
Yeah. And that was well before.
Oh, boy.
Well before Stronger.
Am I being cruel to call him one of the most problematic figures in our culture?
No. And no. I feel like it is a good sign for how Camille and I are engaging in self-care that we forgot
that you forgot?
Exactly. He has been
yay
put
for a
to
while.
The side. Like, he has been put in a little box.
You know, so low on his list of crimes, but I used to be able to karaoke the shit out of this song.
Stronger?
And yeah. I would. And part of it
can't
is...
Can't you just pivot to Daft Punk? Number one.